When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. As ever, the truth is in here. I am your host today, Carl Sweeney, sitting in once again for Tony Black, who has not been very well this week. And today, I'm here to begin our coverage of Episode 6 of Season 11, Kitten. And with me to discuss this episode is Sarah Blair. Hi, Sarah.
Hi! I'm so excited!
I can't possibly imagine why, but, well, actually, this is the first time you've been on the podcast in season 11, isn't it? So before we come on to Kitten.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so how are you finding the new season before, you know, we'll get on to Kitten, but how are you finding season 11 so far?
I love it. I'm really excited. I think it's so much better than season 10. I feel like it fits nicely kind of around... I feel like it's got echoes of season 7 and like the style and the quality and all that. So I'm really enjoying it a lot. I hope if this is our end, I think it's going to be a good one. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel much the same way. I'm having a really good time so far. And of course, we're here today to discuss everyone's favorite member of the FBI hierarchy. We're here
or
to
not.
Discuss.
Yeah. You know, that remains to be questioned, I suppose, if Kirsch has anything to do with it. But
yeah. Of course, we're here to discuss the Bald Eagle himself, Assistant Director Walter Skinner. And this was a Skinner-centric episode, obviously. I mean, there was lots of other stuff going on as well, which we'll get on to. But in a nutshell, then, what did you make of Kitten?
I loved it. I mean, it was everything I expected. Which is to say, it was not really perfect. It was not everything I wanted it to be, but it was everything I expected it to be. Yeah, I felt like there was a lot of... It was just really solid, and it was a good X-File. I think it could have been... I think there would... I really wish that it had been... more, obviously, because I love Skinner so much. Like, I want him to have his own spinoff, and, you know, but as much as they could do in the 42 minutes or whatever they had, I thought it was, they did what they could with what they had. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was another good episode, and that word you said, solid, I think when we do the mailbag episode in a few days, I'll be doing that with Clara, and I think the word solid comes up again and again in the messages. And, but solid is, you know, solid, I take
as
a good thing.
Skinner is a solid character. I mean, he's a solid guy, so it fits. It's fitting for him. Yeah. So.
All right, then. So, the Skin Man. So, obviously, the episode starts with this flashback to his experience in Vietnam, and we get another scene... another flashback like that later too. So what did you make of the young Skinner? I mean, this guy, he was played by a guy called Corey Rempel. And did you know he was actually Mitch Pileggi's nephew?
I did know that. And he auditioned twice for the role of Skinner, just like Mitch Pileggi auditioned twice for the role of Skinner.
Ah,
did you know that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Sorry. That might not have been exactly correct. It wasn't the role of Skinner, but for the X-Files. They both auditioned twice for the X-Files.
Oh, okay.
and then ended up with the role of Skinner. Yeah, that's what it was. I don't want to, like, spread misinformation around, but yeah.
Yeah, so we had these flashback sequences. Did you enjoy those? And did you
yes.
like? Did you like him as the young Skinner?
I did. I thought he was great. I wanted more. I really was sad that they didn't include more of his experience that he talked about in Avatar. I wanted to know more about that, for sure. And as far as being young Skinner, I liked that they got his nephew because it was believable that he looked like him.
Yeah.
And I thought for 18, Skinner was 18 years old when he was in Vietnam. So I liked that he was very self-possessed for an 18-year-old and very, you know, felt like he had to take care of his friend. And I mean, he was already who Skinner was at 18. Mm. So it makes sense because if you think about it, even though Skinner was just a kid then, you imagine him being a child and it does not, you know, it's like he just came out an adult and
yeah.
completely serious. He's an old soul. So yeah, I think he did a great job with that.
Yeah, and what we saw obviously is that moment where he shoots the young boy is Skinner had talked about that in One Breath, I think it was, when I think it's when Mulder's contemplating resigning and Skinner tells him the story about his time in Vietnam. So, I mean, I've seen some comment, people saying, you know, it didn't really add anything, and One Breath got the message across about that experience pretty well, but I thought those scenes were okay, honestly.
Well, I thought they established his character really well, and there's a difference between having him tell you that it happened and actually being able to see it, because, you know, he is, out of all those guys in that little group, he was the one that was paying attention. He had their backs. Like, he always has Mulder and Scully's back. You know, Skinner's the one that takes care of everybody. So, I thought it was really appropriate for him to be on the lookout and for him to be the one that would do that and notice that coming, notice the threat. He notices threats miles down the road. Mm. He sees everything coming. He is ready for anything, and he knows exactly what to do when it happens. So I thought that was a very good way to show his character in a short scene in a short amount of time that they had.
All right, then. So then back in the present day, and obviously he's gone missing as the episode starts, and Mulder and Scully go to see his apartment. And we might come back to this scene from their perspective, like, in the next podcast, but I really find this convincing, you know, like Skinner's like threadbare, like Spartan existence, because it just really rings true to me. Because like my dad is ex-military, and he's very, you know, similar in his ways to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really conveys this idea that there's not really that much more to Skinner than what meets the eye. You know, what's kind of defined his life is like his time in Vietnam, and then his like FBI career, and specifically like his involvement with the X-Files. But having said that,
right.
I think it was like worth having another look at him given the context of like what's gone on so far in season 11 with Skinner, you know.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Skinner is the kind of guy who, and like you said, it's definitely appropriate for him to, you know, have that kind of Spartan existence, but I think that he knows so much that, you know, he's the kind of guy, he's got his go bag ready, he's got a private island in Thailand waiting for him, and if he needs to get out, he's ready. Like, he has no attachments, you know, he's that kind of lone wolf type person. Because I think, like he said towards the end of the episode, you know, it shook his experience with the gas and the trial of his friend and all that, it shook his existence and his faith in his government. And so I think because of that, he never really planted any roots other than, I mean, we know he was married, but we don't ever know what happened to her. She's not around.
No.
So, you know, we left his wife in Avatar, and she was in the hospital bed, but he put his ring back on at the end, and we don't never mentioned her again. So we assume that he's still married, but clearly not. So maybe that apartment that he has that Mulder and Scully came to visit him is not really where he lives. I mean, maybe that's like his standby to like where he takes people when he needs to have meetings or whatever. Like, we don't know. That's what I want to know about Skinner. That's why he needs his own series. I need to know these things.
Well, I always assumed that, like, after the end of Avatar, I think they're obviously trying to reconcile, but I guess it must just not have worked. And I think that apartment, I think we see Skinner there for the first time in, I think it's like Tunguska or something like that. So I've just always assumed he was either separated or ultimately divorced, I guess. But, I mean, it's actually quite a long time into this episode until we see Mitch Pileggi properly, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when we do, he soon goes to this guy Davey's house. Davey, of course, being played by Haley Joel Osment. And we get some backstory, don't we? Well, I mean, first of all, there's a nice little scene with Skinner looking at the photo album before Davey turns up, and he sees the old photos of himself and Kitten. And I thought that was really well played. And, I mean, this whole scene, I thought, was just really good for Pileggi. This scene, and then later on, at the end of the episode, the one with Mulder and Scully. But for all that, he wasn't on screen, like, for every second of the episode. He did get, like, these two really good standout scenes, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what did you think, then, of Davey? I mean, Haley Joel Osment, I was looking at his list of credits, and I think the last thing I saw him in was Steven Spielberg's AI, which was like 2001 that came out. And in my head, he was basically still the kid from The Sixth Sense, essentially. So I had no idea like what he looked like now or anything. So, I mean, I've seen some differing opinions on like his performance or his performances, because he gets kind of a dual role, doesn't he? Right. I mean, I thought he was pretty good, honestly. I mean, what did you make of him?
I thought he was very creepy, for sure. Yeah. And I have actually seen him. I saw Haley Joel Osment with Camille Nanjiani on Silicon Valley, which I love. And so he was really funny on that show. And in this episode, I felt like he was appropriately creepy. And it kind of, I'm not sure. I was watching the episode again, trying to figure out. He speaks of himself and his father a lot like us and we.
Mm. Yeah.
He uses those terms a lot, and he slips back and forth between the tenses.
Mm.
Which kind of is, it struck me as strange that he would speak that way, because he knows his father is dead, and then he speaks of his father in the present tense. And so I don't know if that was on, I couldn't tell exactly if that was on purpose to make him more creepy and to sort of speak to his state of mind or what was going on there. But it did seem creepy to me and strange and weird. So I liked that aspect of it. And I thought it was really strange. I loved the set decoration of his little trailer house. It was, hadn't changed from the 60s or, you know, it was exactly the same. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty creepy. There's a lot to his character that I really liked. And I felt like he really did a good job switching from, you know, pushing Skinner into the hole, being really ruthless about that, and then covering him up. And then Mulder and Scully walk up, and he's like, "Hey, guys, how's it going? Oh, gosh, I've never met any FBI agents before." You know, like, switching back and forth like that was really creeping me out, too. So I thought you did a great job.
Yeah, and, like, the moment when Skinner falls in the pit, like, that did take me by surprise, because there'd been so much talk in the episode about the, I think it was the Glazebrook Hospital or whatever, that I just kind of took it that we were going to end up there at some point, so actually, the plot twist did kind of surprise me, which was good. I mean, before that, the stuff with Skinner is what's kind of new is that we discover that the Skinner's guilt for testifying against Davey's father kind of sows the seeds, doesn't it, of his like mistrust in the government, and then ultimately that plays into how he like responds to Mulder and Scully when the X-Files comes along. And I quite liked it because I felt like, obviously, it is new information that they've just thought up for this episode, but it doesn't really seem to me like it trampled on any of like the backstory we've had before. Do you know what I mean? It felt like a fairly elegant way to elaborate on what we already know about Skinner.
Absolutely. And for once, we didn't get something that was completely out of left field as far as the, I don't know if you would call it myth arc, but Skinner's arc. You know, a lot of times in the X-Files things, people tend to forget what's been said in the past. I mean, I know Mulder has a hard time remembering that he's got a psychology degree from Oxford University. Scully has a hard time remembering, since she seems to explain a lot to him about psychology occasionally. All know Scully's a medical doctor, though, as we're so often reminded. I'm so glad that the medical doctor was on hand for Skinner at the end of the episode, and he didn't need that ambulance. I thought that what I love the most about it is that I feel like finally getting this insight into Skinner's character really helped me understand why he's got such a soft spot for Mulder, because he felt so protective of, was it John, his friend John?
Yeah.
He felt so protective of him this whole time, and kind of like a brother. And then here comes Mulder, who's lost his sister, and he's searching for answers, just like Skinner was searching for answers about what happened to his friend and his brother in arms. So I'm really glad that they added that in, because it really kind of helps me make that connection as to why Skinner really wanted to, you know, I mean, he says that, you know, Mulder, he says, "You taught me not to hide from it, but to shine a light into the darkest corners," which, you know, adds to that. But at the same time, I can't help but feel like he identified with Mulder's quest to find his sister, just like he wanted to find the truth about his friend. So, you know, I really liked that about it.
Yeah, I really like that whole final scene. I mean, it's not the final scene, but the final scene with Skinner, Mulder and Scully. And when he says, like, it wasn't for you two, I wouldn't be here. And like you said, he sort of says that they taught him not to hide from his mistrust. And I just thought, and ultimately he says, "I intend to do right by this man." So, I mean, I don't know if the events of this episode are going to play into anything that comes along later, but
that would be really cool. Yeah.
It would be cool. And it's like interesting to think of Skinner going on this quest anyway, even if we don't see it. And I don't know, I just thought, big props to Mitch Pileggi. I mean, we knew he'd be brilliant anyway, but particularly that scene with Mulder and Scully at the end, it just phenomenally well played, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. I guess I could say he was pretty perfect. He really, you know, he really dug his claws into this. So that was great.
I'm not sure how I'm feline about all these puns, Sarah.
Sorry, guys. Mitch Pileggi is great. He's an awesome actor, and I'm so glad that he finally had something to really work with this season. I mean, not just in this episode. He had his great two scenes. I wish he had had more. But just with the scene with the cigarette smoking man and My Struggle 3 and, the cameo and Forehead's Head. And he's really getting a lot to do this season, which makes me so happy, because he really deserves a chance to really, shine. And he's a great actor. He's, you know, Mulder, Scully, Skinner, they're like the trio of this show. He's not really just a supporting actor, but he's one of the stars. So, I'm glad he finally got some meaty dialogue and some good stuff to work with.
Yeah, me too. And just finally, I think obviously there was the whole scene with the smoking man in the first episode of the season, and they haven't like directly talked about it again yet, but I think Mitch Pileggi's like absolutely playing it as if he's being like weighed down by that knowledge or that revelation. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I think he's doing a really good job. And I mean, what do you reckon, what are your hopes for like the remaining stuff with Skinner? What do you want to see him do like prior to the end of the season?
I want to see him and Mulder and Scully really work together on something. Like actually like Mulder and Scully, like I know it's all trust no one, but come guys, like the whole thing with like, I don't know, Skinner, let's like maybe, you know, do you smell cigarette smoke? That joke is so old at this point. And it's, I mean, we need to move past all this.
Should we reconvene in 24 hours, Sarah, and discuss Mulder and Scully, do you think? Should we do that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's talk about Mulder and Scully on the, yeah, let's do that. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Carl.
Yeah, well, we'll be back tomorrow, definitely. And as we've said, we're going to be talking all about Mulder and Scully's role in this episode, Kitten. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at @X_cast or on Facebook at the X-Files Basement, which is our XCast podcast fan group. But until next time, trust no one.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.